The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is June 23rd, 2024, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the
you
question is,
a lot of
the
new
question
Supreme
is,
Court justice, radical
question,
left.
Would you
who
shut
is
up,
on,
man?
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to mark the two-year anniversary of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade right here in Arizona. The Vice President will be holding a campaign event in Phoenix on Monday, June 24th.
The ACLU and other civil liberties groups say they plan to sue Louisiana over the state's controversial new Ten Commandments law. Now, it requires the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom. The religious text will be poster-sized with large readable font in classrooms from kindergarten to state-funded universities.
Four new developments today in the House Ethics Committee investigation into Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Sources tell ABC News that one woman testified under oath that she received a Venmo payment from Gaetz in exchange for sex.
Online radio at its best.
Dear God, thank you for giving me another chance to be happy, and I should celebrate it. I am so grateful to you for all the good things that have happened so far. Whatever the future holds, please guide and protect me. You've given me the gift of life, because this life is so precious and full of opportunity. I have a responsibility to live it to the fullest. I will use my time wisely to make the most of it. No matter how difficult the journey may seem, I'll always follow your lead. Lord, thank you for always being there for me, even when I didn't deserve it. This year, I'll make a point of showing my loved ones how much I care. Please shower me with love and joy so I can share it with everyone around me. Thank you so much for another year of amazing memories. And thank you to all the people who kindly remembered my birthday today. Amen.
is our calling number. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. And good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best, of course, I am J. Ryle. Thank you for spending a portion of your day with us. And a very special shout out to my baby girl, Miss Alexis. Celebrated her 27th birthday on Friday, and we had a very fun time with the family yesterday. So that prayer was dedicated to her. Of course, we weren't live during her birthday, but this gives me an opportunity to say good morning to my precious little baby. And on that note, you know me, I never share the stage by myself. My big sister's in the house, the one and only Vanessa Maybelli from the Macanelli. Good morning, Vanessa. And how are you on this beautiful Sunday morning?
Good morning, Hanson. How you doing? Happy birthday to your daughter, because I always think how beautiful your daughters are. So happy birthday to her. And you're getting old.
Oh, thank you very much for that. Thank you for reminding me that I'm getting old. It's a correct statement. But you know what? I tell you what, it's a blessing because, you know, it can be the complete opposite, right?
Yes. Yes.
But then again, can we really say that, though, Vanessa? Because people say when you're born, you should be crying, and people should be celebrating when you pass. So are we sending conflicting messages to the masses?
I guess we are.
I'm just asking.
My daughter's 40. I couldn't believe when I celebrated her 40th birthday. I was like, oh, my God.
And you're talking about me? Really? And you're talking about me? Okay.
But I love you.
Well, but I love you, too. And I'm going to repeat what you said to me. I'll say ditto. Same to you, Miss Thing. The same to you. So, Miss Delias, obviously, is off this morning. You know, if you've been listening to us for any extended period of time, every year and around this time, Miss Delias has a huge celebration and family come in from all over the country, and they just celebrate. It's a beautiful event, and so he's out taking care of that. Every now and then he may pop in and say hello, but yeah. I wanted to go. I was going to go, but it came so fast. I mean, this year is flying by. I mean, my goodness. It's like, wow, we're already in June, about to roll into July. Just fast-paced. Yeah. But so anyway, so I'm so excited about her, you know, celebrating her birthday. It's amazing watching your children live their lives when they're little kids, when they're little ones, you have them in your arms and you know, I think every parent has done this. You know, I would sit back and just visualize. I said, okay, you know, when I'm this age, they'll be this age. When they're this age, and, you know, you always wondered how their lives would turn out. And it's just amazing watching these young ladies grow. It's an amazing thing. Being a parent is a beautiful thing, folks. And if you're not a parent, either by choice or unfortunately, you don't have the ability to be a part of this fraternity. It's just a beautiful thing, Vanessa. It really is.
Yeah. Yep, it is, because I adore my daughter. She's right across the street, and I adore her. And I really appreciate. When I was sick and my baby would get up an extra early to come over here and make sure her mama got up and had breakfast or coffee before she went to work. So, you know, I just appreciate her doing that. I really do.
Yeah. And I think that people, you know, so the rumor, I'm not going to say the rumor, but how do I say this? Basically, I was told when I had daughters that, hey, you're lucky, man, because when you get old, your daughters are going to take care of you. I'm like, yeah, right. And I still say, you're right. Those heifers are they mama's girls. And I'm like, well, damn. I mean, so when I get old, what's going to happen to me? I mean, my Lord. So, you know, like you talked about your daughter coming over to help you. And do all those types of things. You know, I think everyone knows the story about my mom and, you know, that she's suffering from Alzheimer's and, you know, and dementia. And it's just, you know, it's just there are good days and there are bad days. There are more bad days than good days. But, you know, we celebrate the good days. And the one thing I do remember when she stayed with me for almost a year, how I would get up every morning before I left the house and I would cook her breakfast and have her lunch waiting for her. And then I would come home and make dinner for her, and it was nothing. And it was amazing how fulfilling that was. It's like, man, this is my mother. And, you know, and I thought about the circle of life, Vanessa. It's like, hey, at some point you will have to do for your parents what they did for you. And it's just, I don't know. It was so gratifying. It was self-fulfilling, and it was second nature. I mean, I would get up and cook her a full breakfast and make sure her lunch was ready and everything.
I'm not going to say my daughter felt like it was second nature just to do all of that. I mean, you know, but we, like, if I'm going to the grocery store or the pharmacy, I'll call and say, do you need anything, or blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I mean, so. And if I need to borrow something, she got cameras all over her house. She can see every place in her house. And I'll go over there and I'll send her a message. I'm going to come borrow blah, 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 blah from you. But then, you know, she don't care.
Yeah. You know, and something else.
You don't have to do it, but it's awesome. I just wish I had grandchildren. And I don't.
Yeah. And see, and I can wait for that, because at this point now, I think I've come to the realization, and I have to say this out loud, but my kids are having SEX. Ugh, now, you know, as a father, it just drives me loco to know this, but it's just the evolution of how it works. And so,
you know,
you know,
Which one is the one that's a school teacher that always
That's Nicole, Nicole. That's the oldest.
Okay. That's who's fixing to get married. You watch.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, they're going to get married.
Yeah, yeah, her biological clock is ticking, and she's like, oh, Dad, I'm like, Dad, don't you want grandkids? I said, well, I'll tell you this. I don't want them out of wedlock. That's for damn sure, you know, so you better figure something out. But anyway, I hate talking about it. Okay, let's move on, because still, I know she's 31 years old. My middle
girl
daughter's 27. I know. It's just, it's hard for me. I always wanted boys for this particular reason. I wanted to have boys, you know, because I know how boys operate. And so my daughters are in that world. So hopefully, you know, so far so good, they've chosen some pretty decent cats. And as far as I know,
gorgeous daughters. I'm just telling y'all. His daughters are gorgeous. All three of them.
Yeah.
But one of them he got is long-legged, baby. She got the pretty long leg. That girl right there.
All right, we're moving forward. All right, so now. All right, so Justin Timberlake was arrested this past week for DWI. And so now the singer, you know, it's amazing when these guys get caught up in this type of stuff where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody, oh, my God, Justin Timberlake is getting caught up in DWI. So he's finally, Vanessa, has come out and spoke on this issue. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me that when we – there are people just like us. And so what he said was, he says, look, it's been a tough week. He also talked about how he was – let's see. I didn't know he was 43 years old. Wow, I didn't know that. But, yeah, he said it's been a very tough week for him, and he's broken silence, and, you know, he was on his way to some type of world tour, and, you know, it is what it is. Thoughts on Justin Timberlake being pulled over for being drunk?
You know, they said that the police officer did not, is young, he didn't recognize Justin Timberlake. I don't think
that
had anything to do. Huh?
Who cares?
I don't think it had to do with it. First of all, you are rich. And I said the same thing about that Kansas City quarterback guy, daddy, who was arrested for drinking. Y'all are rich, or y'all have access to Uber. Hell, like, you can Uber to the airport. I mean, this is being irresponsible, and it pisses me off. It really does. That these people who can call Uber and leave, about to go back and get them, they choose to drive drunk. I got a problem with it.
Yeah, me too. The singer said it's been a tough week, but then he says, but you're here, I'm here, nothing can change this moment right now. I know sometimes I'm hard to love, but you keep up on loving me, and I love you right back. That's what he said. All right, so look, it looks like our sister is trying to get in here as well. Let me bring her in here. Momo Beezy from the Heezy. Brace yourself, censors. Get ready because you may have to do some beeping. Good morning. Good morning, Momo.
Hey, Vanessa. How you doing?
Good morning, Mama.
Hey, Jay. How you doing, Chattin', sir?
I am doing outstanding, ma'am. What can we do for you on this beautiful Sunday morning?
I don't know. You know, let me tell you something. Vanessa, I don't know if you know, but I call in every Sunday, whether I say something or not. I am here, and I felt like I had something to say earlier when Jay was crying about his daughter. I felt like I had something to say, but you know what? I'm gonna put a pin in that until later when he starts crying about something else, because he's a crier. He's always crying. I don't understand why. But whatever. I have daughters, too. So, well, I have one daughter. So I can dig it, but certain things I can't dig when Jay starts talking because he got issues. I think he got mommy issues, to say the truth. I don't know.
Okay. You're going to get zapped here in a few minutes. Can
I'm sorry,
you go
I'm
on
sorry,
with
I'm
your
sorry.
Point? Yes. What the hell do you want, Momo B? Oh, my
no,
Lord.
I just I just wanted to chime in and say hello. Like, come on, I can't.
Oh, really? You just could have said hello. All this Jay has issues, and he's a crybaby, and he's a mama. All that stuff you could have left out, but that's okay. It's America, and you can say what the hell you want sometimes.
Thank you.
So thank you, Momo Beezy, for being here. Speaking.
Oh. What we wanted to talk about Justin Timberlake. That's what we was on. Is that his name?
Well, that's his name. We were moving on from that,
okay.
But would you like to chime in on Justin Timberlake's arrest?
He just said that, he was arrested for whatever he was doing. But what I'm going to say is this on the topic of drinking and driving.
Oh,
now,
yes, please do.
But anyway, I don't know about you, so I'm not going to say you. I don't know about Vanessa, but I do know she's going to say she's never did it. And I don't know about anybody else, but I do know about
me. Yeah, we do too.
And drove.
Yes, we know that. That's not a news flash.
Shut up, will you? But I never thought, and this is the thing, that when people drink, anybody can go out to a social gathering, have a couple, and then drive home. We don't know if we're over the limit or not because we don't have a thing to tell. Nobody knows. When I say nobody, I don't mean nobody in the whole wide world. I'm not saying that. And everybody knows their limit. I could have 8 shots of something, 2 beers, 3 glasses of wine, and I still could drive better than the next person who don't have a tolerance.
Ooh,
for
girl,
wow.
They show
I'm just saying, if my tolerance is high for liquor, I can do what a lot of people can't do. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, for real.
Okay.
I remember, I don't remember. But there's times where go out and I don't drink, and the next person could have a drink, and they'd be plastered. I'm like, you just had one drink, girl. You know what I'm saying? What is the problem? Because their tolerance is different than mine. So I've said all that to say that a lot of people don't know when they're messed up. Some people do. But a lot of people don't know, and they be messed up, but they don't know it. So
we
get in the car, and that's why we have these laws and stuff. When you see people swerving and all that, pull them over, I get it.
Yes.
But you can't, I don't think that you should, he knew he was drunk and driving and did the, that's why they got people out there. I'm not trying to take away from anybody who have an accident and killed people, so please, let's not go there. I'm not talking about that. I'm not taking away from that, is what I should say, because then you get arrested, you go to jail, and you do the time and whatever. But a lot of people, more than we know, is out there driving intoxicated, and they get home safe, and nobody gets down on their back.
All righty, thank you so much.
Stop, I thought we were still talking about it.
No, we're about to move on. We're on a time.
Okay.
We have used all our time for this segment. And the views and opinions of Momo B are not necessarily views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. You're crazy, okay? So we're going to go to break, crazy lady. 8 shots, 3 beers. I believe that, too, about you. If you want to know more about, but those numbers are probably close when it comes to you. For you first-time listeners who have never listened to the TJRS Radio Network in its entirety, go back 8-9 years. You can find out who this woman is who just called in. There is plenty of tape out there. You can really know the real will be. We'll be back. It's time for an NPR news update. 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this. Jesus Christ.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A video circulating on social media shows a wounded Palestinian man being transported on the hood of an Israeli military vehicle in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. The Israeli military says it's investigating the incident. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf is in Tel Aviv.
The incident happened in the Jenin refugee camp and what the Israeli military said was part of, quote, counterterrorism operations. In the video shot from a nearby window, a man can be seen tied to the hood of an Israeli military jeep as it drives down a dirt road. The Israeli military says the man was a suspect injured in a raid. In a statement, military officials said the conduct of the soldiers was, quote, in violation of orders and standard operating procedures. There has been a surge in violence in the West Bank since the war in Gaza began last October. More than 500 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli fire in that time, according to the UN. At least 10 Israelis, including security forces, have also been killed. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant is on his way to the U.S. Gallant left for Washington, D.C. today. His trip comes amid a public dispute between the Biden administration and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over weapons shipments. Federal authorities now offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to those responsible for igniting those two wildfires in New Mexico. The fires have killed two people, destroyed hundreds of homes. Pam Bonner is among those forced to flee the flames.
One home is there, and then three homes are gone, and then two homes are there, and then four homes are gone. It's just so bizarre. It's so strange. We've never seen anything like this.
Rain and cooler weather have helped firefighters gain ground on the wildfires near the mountain town of Rudioso, but authorities say full-time residents will be allowed to return tomorrow. Flames aren't the problem in Iowa. It's too much water. Flooding in northern Iowa has prompted Governor Kim Reynolds to declare a disaster in 21 counties. Video posted online by a local sheriff shows no streets visible in the town of Rock Valley, just roofs and treetops poking above the water. The state of California has announced it will return more than 2,800 acres of land to a small Native American tribe in Northern California called the Shasta Indian Nation. Jefferson Public Radio, Julia Grable reports.
The acreage is part of the tribe's ancestral homeland along the Klamath River. For more than a century, much of the land was submerged under a man-made reservoir. Earlier this year, that reservoir was drained as part of a massive dam removal project on the river. The Shasta Indian Nation is planning a public heritage trail, interpretive center, and food sovereignty program that will connect tribal members to traditional food and medicine plants. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced the land transfer on June 18th. 5 years after the state formally apologized to California's native peoples for past harms. Returning land is one of several initiatives the state is taking to repair relations with tribes. For NPR News, I'm Juliet Grable.
And you're listening to NPR News.
What do you want to get?
Ice cream.
Chocolate? Yeah! Let's go, honey. Together, we can find a child by signing up for free wireless Amber Alerts on your cell phone.
Online radio at its best.
The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now. Make sure you, in fact, let people know your senators. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would you answer that question?
Because the question is,
the radical left.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
This is
so
right.
Gentlemen, I think we've ended this.
This is so unprecedented.
He's going to pack the court.
Welcome back. 23 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. It happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best. This is debate week. Donald Trump and President Biden will face off in a debate like no other. First of all, it's the earliest presidential candidates have faced off. It's a little different format. There will be no people in the audience. And when one is speaking, the other opponent's mic will be off. Vanessa, what do you think? How do you think it's going to turn out?
So, you know, what's funny is Thursday night, Bobby and I go, well, I'll just tell y'all, we play bingo on Thursday night. And the place we play bingo at is in Elk Lodge, which I have one of the chocolate chips that belong there. And so I'm going to have my phone turned to CNN, MSNBC, I think it's who's on my phone. And I'm going to have cordless earplugs in, and I'm going to watch the debate because I want to see it live and in action. And what is really funny is that it's a Republican establishment, but it's a lot of Democrats or whatever that actually plays bingo in there, but I'm going to be paying attention to it and looking at it. And Donald Trump thinks that he is he is already putting in the atmosphere is that Biden is going to be on drugs. So, therefore, he's going to act like he has good sense when he doesn't, because they have him drugged. They need to drug his ass. But that's what he's already got in the atmosphere. It's already coming across my phone. As a matter of fact, I heard it on MSNBC this morning that he's already putting that out there. And he's just trying to do it to make it seem like Biden is old and crazy. But he's the one that's old and crazy. And top it off, like I tell people all the time, when they say something to me about Donald Trump, the words that come out of my mouth is felon. That's all I got to say. Walk off. He's a felon. I don't care.
I think that needs to be the buzzword. I think that, and you're noticing that the Biden campaign, they are using the word, the term convicted felon more. Before he was convicted, they really didn't throw it out there. Now they're saying, look, he's a convicted felon. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You're right. Trump is trying to set the atmosphere as if, okay, the bottom line is he's going to be souped up on whatever. I just can't imagine, and this is what has always been troubling to me when it comes to this guy. If you saw any other person behaving the way he behaves in public, you would probably cross and walk to the other side of the street. For these people to embrace this behavior as normal is baffling to me. And
get
so,
ready, though. Going to get away with all of it. I know you.
I don't think so.
That you want to see him get his in your lifetime. I would say,
I don't think so.
I want to see it, Vanessa. I don't want to be dead and it happen to him. I want to see him get his. But you know
That's
what?
Right.
I think the Supreme Court justices are just going to let him off. They have already almost decided that they're going to put some of this stuff off until after November. They're waiting to see if he's going to get elected. That's his judges. Those are his judges. And what
that
people
is
don't
amazing.
Understand is young people listen to me. When Republicans are in office, not just the regular judges, it's the judges in your state that are Republicans that are being put in place so that they don't do anything to help you. If you got a Republican that is over the appraisal district for which you live, they're not worried about the taxes for the rich people on their houses. They're going after you. If you have Republican judges, what they do is they throw the book at you and then they let the other ones get away. Y'all need to pay attention to what is around you as well, not waiting until presidential elections to do something. Y'all need to do something now. And y'all need to do
absolutely.
It with small elections. They don't pay attention to those small elections.
Yeah, you're right about that. 347-850-1272 is a calling number. What's really amazing to me when it comes to what the Supreme Court is doing, you have that judge in Florida who's delaying the secret documents case. This stuff is playing out just in broad daylight. And
his heart. People can say what they want about Donald Trump. He was raised to be conniving, and he knows how to do it. He was smart enough to put those judges in place, but anything that came down, I can't stand him. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him next door. But he was smart enough to know to get those judges in place to save his butt, and it's working. That stuff that he put in place is working. It's working.
Yeah. I get it. You're pissed off about it, and so am I, and so should a lot of Americans be pissed off about it. You know, let me ask you, Momo, because you're not really logged into this stuff. Are you going to vote this time around based on what you've been seeing in the news and hearing about the stakes and what's at stake during this upcoming presidential election?
To answer your question truthfully, I, number one, am going to vote.
Good.
And number two, I always vote.
Okay.
But
The answer is yes. I'm going to vote. And, like, I'm not into it like you guys are. Like, oh, this person said this person said that, this person said this. But it's just like when I was in college, there's a test coming up, and I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to review this, that. Because everything's out there for you to review. Everything's out there.
That's true.
But I just don't follow it day to day, week to week like y'all do. And I'm telling you the truth. But I am going to vote, and I'm going to put my best foot forward. Who I vote for will win. That's all I ever hope for. Who I vote for will win.
Good. That's good stuff. And that's important because the bigger issue here is for, and I think the message and the amount of money that the Biden campaign is trying to pour out there is to reach people who are not connected every day. Because you're right. There are people who are not watching CNN 24/7. You could turn on any TV in my house, and I guarantee you, I'm willing to bet you that every last one of those televisions are on MSNBC. Because, you know, I'm all engaged in this stuff. Now, I'm not saying folks need political junkies like me or Mr. Elias or Jerome or even Vanessa, but you do need to know what's going on. And Bobby Joe, huh?
Yeah, we're all tuned in. I mean, mine is
that's what I said.
Yeah, we go to bed. So, but Mama, my question is, do you encourage your children to go vote?
Yes.
Your kid is not old enough to go vote.
A couple of years ago,
our children are old enough to go vote, Jay.
Yeah, they are.
That's right.
My
son, I forgot.
Your
son, that's
what
I forgot.
My daughter,
oh, my gosh, she's 23?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And guess
God.
What, Vanessa? Guess what,
wow.
Vanessa? And I don't know, a few years ago, me and my son don't argue because he just listens to what I say, and I like it that way. But we had an argument. Our first big argument is because I woke him up to come with me to vote, and he didn't feel like getting up. Yep, we had a problem. And he went so far, I don't know what the big deal is. He just wanted me to go stand on a long line. I'm like, what? That is not the point. So, yeah, we had a big argument about that. That's how important voting is for me, and I tell my children. And I'm going to tell you this, even though, however this may sound, I don't care because I'm here to tell the truth. I tell them who to vote for. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
You know, well, no, I, listen.
Well, you know, I don't think anything's wrong with that. Because
I don't think anything's wrong with it either. No, because I know Jerome. Because I know, you know, Jerome said this a while back, how, you know, parents should have that type of influence on their kids. I don't see a problem with that. But I don't want to drift too far away from this upcoming debate because, you know, as a Democrat, I mean, I think we do have some concerns about the debate. And, wait a minute. Who,
wow.
Is this who I think it is? Well, hold on. Let me see who it is.
Okay,
hard for me to.
Calm down, bro.
Is this the smartest man? Yeah, Jerome. Is this the smartest man? There he is, Jerome. Okay, good. It's so hard with Mr. Elias out here. So, but Jerome is in the house, the smartest man in the world. Mr. LES is off, but Jerome is in the house. Man, good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Well,
outstanding. Jerome.
Good.
Jay, well, I'm not concerned about, because there's not going to be an audience, which is going to help him not to clown and act stupid like he does. I mean, he performs in front of an audience, honey. So it's not going to be an audience. They're going to miss the mic. It's going to get Biden. I hope that Biden gets up there and tell everything he's done for the colleges and the children with their education and paying back the loans, going after that. But what if I have not heard Trump say anything, and he had a 2-hour or 3-hour thing the other day. I couldn't believe that he was up on stage for that long time. But he has not said what he's going to do for this country, other than talk about migrants, and I'm just hearing about them. So tell me, what are you going to do to help me? He hasn't said anything. I haven't heard him say anything that was worth anything.
Well, that's anytime he opens his mouth, that's what you're going to get, so I'm not surprised by that. So
talk about at the debate. So what can he do at the debate and talk about? Because he ain't saying he's doing nothing.
Okay, I mean, but normal.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
yes.
Jay, I know you want to hear the smartest man in the world, and so do I. But I just want to say one thing before. One thing. I don't like that there's not going to be anybody there and nobody. I don't like controlled environments, and I'm sure you can tell why. I don't like controlling rights. If I can't, just like I said, I don't listen to this stuff every day. So when somebody would be in the room and they would say, oh, but what about this? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, he did say that. I don't like when they take everybody out and just let this person sit up here and ramble on about whatever he's going to talk about. I have a problem with that, and that's just me. So go ahead, Jerome.
Okay. Well, thank you. And let me give him a lead. So just to kind of answer that question, people are not going to do that at a presidential debate. So they're not going to say, hey, what about this? But I hear what you're saying. So, Jerome, may your thoughts on this. I know, you know, it's always good. You know, we have to consider ourselves very lucky. You know, we have a guy that's been in the room. And when this season approaches, you know, we have some of the best people in the business that's on our air. And so, Jerome, I definitely want to take advantage of the fact that, you know, this is what, you know, you have existed in this world. This is what you've done and continue to do for a living. So give me your thoughts on this upcoming debate, man. What do you expect to see? Who do you think is going to have the advantage? Do you think it's a good idea to kind of address what Momo just said, having this type of debate? Because, mind you, I think the last time this type of debate was staged was, what, Nixon, Kennedy, if I'm not mistaken? So
in the 60s, you know,
yeah. So give me your thoughts on this, Jerome, if you don't mind.
9-1. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to seem boring to the people who are used to, like, reality TV, because that's the world that Trump came out of. But you're going to mm-hmm. really see, like, you know, even on his rallies are non-conventional. Like, and I shouldn't call them non-conventional. They're just non-cohesive. Like, he's just spitting out stuff. He said something about batteries and sharks and all this. Like, he's just riling up a crowd. This is going to expose you, right? Almost kind of like what Momo B said. When you sit there and take your test, right, you ain't got nobody else in there but you. And so when it's two candidates like that, you need to be prepared. So he doesn't have cheerleaders and, oh, people falling out and all of that. It ain't going to work anyway, because that never works in politics. So most of the people normally stage things so that it makes it look like they have a lot of support. But I remember when, I don't mean to throw Kamala out there because she's still in active, but I mean she's still in, you know, in politics. But I remember when she was running for president, and she had this huge rally in California, and we did a show, and everybody, even the commentators on TV, was just like, oh my gosh, her support is off the, you know, off the chains, blah, blah, blah. She dropped out a couple months later.
Yep.
Because when you bring your own cheerleaders in your own audience, it gives you a false sense of security. Mm. But you got to remember, people who vote read most of the time, right? And to your question earlier to Momo B, or what she said, is that most people do, their kids don't pay attention to stuff, so they do ask their parents, which they should. You have elders. So if your child is voting, you cannot say to them, you vote your own and study yourself and blah. You have elders for a reason.
Right.
And in our community, sometimes we give up that responsibility of trying to let people go off on their own. They got to learn sometime and all that nonsense. But they don't do that in other communities. We are literally the only community that always cut our elders off when we turn about 14. And it's like, I ain't listening to y'all. Right? So we need to kind of respect that and say, because I say that every year. I get a ton, I shouldn't say a ton, I get phone calls and or I'll see somebody and they'll say, who should I vote for? And I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I pay attention to this stuff. I'm not neutral either. I won't say, well, this person does this and make up your own mind. I don't do that. Because I spend a lot of time studying, so why would I do that? Why would I neutralize that? So I probably walk around with, I don't know, 20 votes or something, right? Like, so when
right.
you have people who trust your word, then you take some responsibility in it. So what's going to happen is, in this, from what I see, is that the news always plays it even, but the people who are independent, like the independent folks, they're going to watch Donald Trump get exposed. Because you got to call him a convicted sex offender. He's a felon now. Like, he's convicted. So those questions are free game.
Right.
So, you know, he's going to lash out. If I was doing debate prep with Biden right now, the first thing I would do is I would prepare him for Trump with those little, you know, sneaky comments about his son. And I would be, and I would say, you know what, though? I'm not even amused by that. You say somebody, we all know somebody or had somebody's family or somebody who had drug problems, right?
Right, right.
My response to that, think about playing the dozens if you were black, if you're black in a situation. Somebody says, oh, your cousin's on drugs. Your response is, you're a sex offender. So as soon as you bring that up, I get to bring in all this other stuff about you. No, what about you?
Right.
Talk about anybody else, right? You cheated on your taxes. You started January 6th, that, right? Like, that is an endless stream of comebacks. So, yeah, so I would be very hesitant because he don't have no audience to mask that. What'd you say?
I don't think Biden would come back with him like that.
He wouldn't because Biden believes in fairness. This is the point, right? It's always uneven because – sometimes we think, oh, it's not about that, and we don't want to get into the mud and to the, you know, the mud with people. But the truth is that if he strikes a nerve, his son died of, what, brain cancer, right? And he has one son that has a drug problem. So once it gets personal, if you got under his skin, I would still give him those things just to be like, you need to remind somebody of something. We need to remind people of your convictions. And so say to the candidate, to Biden, is there a question that you would like to ask Trump? And my question would be, how do you plan on running the country from a jail cell? Because we don't know. So if you're convicted and you're in house,
serious?
So,
he's not going to go to jail.
No, it doesn't matter what we think, though, Vanessa. What it is that he has a sentencing hearing coming up. So since he has a sentencing hearing, we don't know jack. We can speculate that he ain't going to get no jail time. But if he's under house arrest, you're saying to me that it's good for you to run the country under house arrest or on parole, right? You go to China. If you go to China, right, like here's another question. If you go on a foreign trip, how would you plan on contacting your parole officer? Would they ride Air Force One with you?
He contacted his parole officer the other day from Florida with his attorney
instead
of New York. So they're letting him slide with stuff, Jerome.
This is
what I'm saying. The people, people like me who don't foul stuff, we need to hear this type of stuff. Like, question.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying, Vanessa. Like, the reality is we know he got privilege. We know all of them have privilege. We know that they're going to cut rich people taxes. We know this. But the thing that we can relate to is when you are convicted, when you go to court, you are rolling the dice depending on which judge you get. Right? So my questions would be, I'm sure opposed to worrying about, gas prices, are you worried that you may or may not get probation or paroled? Now that you can't pardon yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to back the opponent of the governor of New York so that you can somehow get pardoned? I would ask all kind of questions. I would load him up.
I would be right there behind you. Saying,
I would load him up just in case. Because Trump's going to be he's going to get smart. And he's unhinged. So what you do in debates is you're going to say something to make him lose his mind right in front of everybody on TV.
Up in here. I'm going to make you lose your mind up in here.
Republican country screaming.
Right. See, Biden doesn't even have to yell that. Just merely posing a question, just like, hey, this is legit now.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
you got evicted in the Eugene Carroll case. Right? Now, I'm not sure if you're on a sex offender registry because of that case, because I know it was long, but do you worry about that being around young children as president?
Yeah.
Like, I would just ask.
I'm just asking.
I just have questions.
I like that. That's why I don't like control. Oh, you can't say nothing. Don't ask nothing. I don't like that. I want to ask what I want to ask, and I want to hear what everybody else got to say about you.
Right. So Trump's going to lose his mind. He's probably not going to do another debate. because this is going to be so revealing when it comes to him trying. Because you can mask all this stuff when you are talking, but
right.
when somebody else asks you a question, you can ignore it all you want to. But I would load them up on Biden.
Thank you, thank you. And that's why they're doing it like
yeah.
this. It's not because of us. It's not because of us at all.
Because
us.
He's not.
They want to protect him. They want to protect him, and I don't like that.
Yeah, he should not even be running. That's how foreign this is.
Yeah,
but
I
again,
agree. I agree with you.
We're dealing with. Yeah, we're dealing with it.
Who are they trying to mm-hmm. protect? No, no.
Trump.
But I just want to debate like
that,
this is
man.
Not protecting him.
Why
it's actually
like
going to make him look worse.
Yeah, I don't think it's protecting him either. I think what it is, it's taking away his superpowers, you know, because, you know, he feeds off the crowd going bonkers. He feeds off that stuff, and that's
no,
why
he
loves having these huge... Yeah,
right, I understand that. I know what he feeds off of, but he don't control everything. He got people working for him, and they got a job
yeah.
to do. And
he's not good at debates anyway. He's not good at debates anyway, so he blew him up before. So once you have everybody showing their butt, it's easier to mask that you're incompetent. But when there's only two people there, you're going to be the only one looking crazy.
Yep.
So this is going to highlight him, and I don't know what Republicans are going to do after this debate.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all this turns out, man. Good stuff. Good first segment. 347-850-1272 is that calling number. Welcome in. Thank you so much for spending a portion of your Sunday with us. Now, you know, we talk about politics all the time on this show, and we talk about social issues as well. You know, the one thing we don't spend a lot of time is talking about the effect that fentanyl is having on this country. So in this week's edition of 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know, to spend some time focusing on that topic because we want to make sure that we are keeping everyone informed. It's Covina time in 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know. We'll be right back.
A member of Biden's cabinet is making a move toward curbing the illegal fentanyl trade. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen travels to Atlanta today, where she's expected to announce new financial sanctions against fentanyl traffickers.
Street fentanyl kills more than 70,000 Americans a year. It also generates billions of dollars a year in black market profits. The Biden administration has been trying to disrupt the money side of international drug networks.
NPR addiction correspondent Brian Mann is with us now to tell us more about this. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Michelle.
So what's the background to this and what's new today?
Well, fentanyl sadly is a booming business for Mexican drug cartels and also for a lot of companies in China. Some of these are industrial chemical companies that allegedly make precursor fentanyl chemicals while also doing legitimate business around the world. So over the last year, the White House has been stepping up efforts to target those companies, pinch off the flow of drug profits. And the Treasury Department's already sanctioned a bunch of people and firms, and we expect Secretary Yellen to expand that sanctions list today.
Say more about the focus on the money, because I think we usually think of drug interdiction as stopping the drugs before they cross the border, but I take it that's not really getting the job done?
Yeah, you know, law enforcement agencies, Michelle, are already seizing a lot more fentanyl at the border and inside the U.S., but fentanyl's super easy and cheap to make. When cops capture a big batch of fentanyl pills, we see this from the news all the time, the cartels just churn out more, and that's seen as a relatively harmless cost of doing business. So the idea here is to try to inflict real pain and cause disruption of those fentanyl networks by seizing cash and assets and penalizing legitimate companies that are supporting this drug trade. I spoke about this a couple weeks ago with White House drug czar Dr. Rahul Gupta.
How do we address the commerce of illicit drug supply? This all comes back to the money piece, to focus on whether it's sanctions, whether it's money laundering efforts that are happening, anti-money laundering efforts.
And again, what we expect to hear from Yellen today is another tightening of those screws, squeezing this money side of the fentanyl black market just a little harder.
I guess the obvious question is, why do they think this will work, or are we seeing any evidence that this might work?
We're not seeing that evidence yet. The Biden administration says they are getting better at this, at finding and seizing fentanyl profits. Here's Assistant Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo speaking last October.
We freeze and disrupt the operating capital criminals need to manufacture and transport these illicit substances. We stop or recover the proceeds from drug sales, either through the U.S. financial system or through those partner countries that are willing to work with us.
But, you know, Michelle, laying out that strategy is one thing, and actually doing it is a lot harder. One challenge we're hearing about is crypto. A report issued by a congressional committee in April of this year found Chinese gangs getting really good at using cryptocurrencies to hide and transfer fentanyl profits. Chinese criminal gangs, some allegedly with ties to the Communist Party, have emerged as global players at laundering fentanyl money. They've actually created what the U.S. Justice Department describes as an underground banking system where money transfers are really hard to detect. One more thing is that drug policy experts tell NPR that Mexican cartels and many Chinese companies appear to be operating with at least some protection from their national governments. So the Biden administration is moving hard on this. They think this is part of the solution to the fentanyl crisis, but no huge gains so far.
Brian Mann is NPR's addiction correspondent. Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Online radio at its best.
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to mark the two-year anniversary of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade right here in Arizona. The Vice President will be holding a campaign event in Phoenix on Monday, June 24th. According to the Biden-Harris campaign, Harris's visit underscores efforts to make reproductive rights a centerpiece of President Joe Biden's reelection campaign.
Welcome back in, 347-850-1272. It's 51 minutes after the hour, or 9 hours before the top, 9 minutes before the top of the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side. It's been 2 years since this has happened. So it's a not-so-happy anniversary. It's been 2 years since the Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, something I never thought we'd see. We talk about Trump all the time on this show. And people are always saying that Trump is the reason why we have these Supreme Court justices that pretty much lied during their confirmation hearings, right? They said that Roe v. Wade was precedent and, you know, we're not here to change the law. We're here to do whatever. And as soon as they got the opportunity, they did it. And I just want to make sure people understand that, you know, Donald Trump is not the only corporate here. You know, Mitch McConnell, in my opinion, has more to do with this than Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell was the one that pulled the strings and made sure that these Supreme Court justices were, you know, pushed through, especially after the nonsense he did to President Obama's nominee for Supreme Court, which, by the way, now that we've seen this man as the Attorney General, I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, so Jerome, you know, the thing is, I watched these stories and I read these stories about women damn near dying, right, showing up at emergency rooms, and the emergency rooms are turning them away because they happen to be in a state where abortion is illegal. And there are some states that are saying, we don't give a damn if it's incest or rape, you're having a child. I watched a segment yesterday on the weekend on MSNBC, and Simone was having a conversation with some Yahoo, he's an idiot, talking about, you know, well, an abortion is a murder. And I'm like, my God, you know, I don't know where to fall on this, man. This is ridiculous. But give me your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. The fact that a woman could, she has to be on death's door before an emergency room can even consider, in some states, by the way, to, you know, give the lady an abortion. Your thoughts, please.
Well, I think that we need to call it what it is. There are some people, humanity sucks, right? And I can call them out, but I know that'll get into religion and religious belief, but I think that's a cover. I think that is a cover using your religion, because your religion is reserved for the people who worship that particular religion. Your ability to press your religion on somebody else is being a colonizer, right? And so what colonizers do, and they don't like being called this, but that's exactly what this is, you're imposing something on other people thinking that your way of life is better than everybody else's.
Right.
I don't understand anybody, men or women, who imposes anything on somebody else's body. I don't understand that. And so it's really foreign to me, even when they're like, you know, you have, I think the Republicans did this when they were signing a bill in Florida. It's just a bunch of men. Oh, women can't do this. Like, you don't have that body, so you don't know how your body responds to anything.
like saying birth control pills, I know some people use it to control their cycle a little bit better, right? Like for, you know, just anything. You can have medical reasons for wanting to take a birth control pill.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But the issue is that it's not for men to decide that. I can't say, well, when I feel like this at this time of the month, you know what I mean? Like, that's not even reasonable. So when men get to do that, and for conservative people or people who are religious crazy, for any of them to impose that in a country where we supposedly have religious freedom is, mm-hmm. is sick. I think their humanity sucks. So I'm probably a bad person to even have a conversation because it's not reasonable to me. I think that those states that are doing that, those people who voted for it, all of them need to be out of office. Vote against them just for that. That's why Trump's going to lose really bad, because I think that some women have just made up their mind that no matter what happens, that's not going to happen. I don't care about my gas prices or my taxes or whatever. That is crossing the line, messing with somebody's body. It's like telling black people they can't have their hair braided or, you know, you have to cut your hair because it's long. I'm just saying that's too much, right? You don't understand the culture. You don't understand anything, but you're telling somebody else what it is. And we're going back to white supremacy and white folks being colonizers, telling everybody else what their beauty standards should be. So it's going too far.
I agree with you. And you're the right person to ask, because at the end of the day, you know, it matters. And for me, Vanessa, when we talk about a woman's right to choose, it's amazing how people who are not doctors, people who are not women, like Jerome mentioned, folks in state houses, how are you going to make a decision to tell somebody what to do with their bodies? How can just say that out loud? I'm going to tell a male that, hey, you need to have a vasectomy. You can't do no bull stuff like that. It's ridiculous. And for these people who run around here and they want to thump their Bibles and say, you know, that's a human life, and I say this on this show 1,000 times, these are the same people who are taking away programs that are in place to help single parents, programs that are in place to help folks feed these people who can't afford it. So on the one hand, you want to bring them into this world for what? So you can shoot them when they get 18? This is ridiculous.
Right. You're absolutely right. We can't tell y'all what to do, cut over with y'all. We can't tell y'all what to do, but these old men want to tell us. And then they're going to cut. They're going to cut the child care. They're going to put stipulations like Clinton did 50 years ago with the work with food stamps. They're going to put all kinds of stipulations, and they're not going to be able to get social services to help them. And it's going to be sad. And
it's
there
ridiculous.
Are, and I hate to say it, but there are some girls that intentionally, I think, try to get pregnant. And they know now they're not going to be able to have an abortion, so why not? Ain't nothing my mama can do about it because I can't have an abortion. But you know what? They're going to cut all kind of stuff. You just wait till if Trump gets back in there, he's going to make everybody have a house full of babies, and then he's not going to take care of them. And then I heard or read or on the news or something, I got it from somewhere, that they're going to try to enforce where CPS comes and checks on those families, and they're going to take those children and put them in the system. That was something I was reading about that. Or it was on the news. Something about Trump not wanting to enforce being able to take care of them, and if you can't take care of them right, then CPS is going to step in, and I don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but that's, once again, ridiculous. You know, we talk about the Soviet Union. We talk about North Korea, and we're walking in their same footsteps, telling people what they can and cannot do with their bodies. It's ridiculous.
But they're going to make it like Russia. Trump wants to make the United States like Russia. And then if he gets in office, he says that he wants to change the time limit that people can be in office. So it's a lot of stuff at stake. Yes, he said that.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, anything you say that this guy said,
I wouldn't fall for that.
Yeah, I'm not. Please, hey, who cares? I mean, he can say he's stupid. I mean, anything that comes out of his mouth is ridiculous. The fact that the fact that he's even in the mix,
ridiculous, sweetie. But you need to listen to what he says he's going to do. That ignorant person, I do it.
The fact that someone says they want to be a dictator says it all. That encompasses what a dictator is. So I mean, it is what it is when it comes to this guy. But Momo, let me ask you this, because you have a daughter that's of age. You know, you live in a state where abortion is restricted. I mean, how do you feel about this nonsense? It's the 2-year anniversary.
I'm gonna tell you how I feel, and I was surprised. I'm gonna try to keep this because I could talk for days about this. I was surprised when they overturned it. I didn't think that was going to happen. And you know why I didn't believe that it was going to happen? It's because we went through years of stuff. All they want to do is have babies and live in welfare and Section 8, and they get money for all these kids, get money. So I never thought that the world would say, oh, you can't have an abortion. Because I thought they was against us having kids in the first place, because they're paying out and we just having 8 or 9 kids back to back, and they living for free on the dime of the government. So I was surprised.
Mm.
I was totally shocked. I was flabbergasted when that happened. I'm like, what? I thought they want us to abort our kids, and they have, and kids are having sex way younger than when I was. They doing the most nowadays. And you just want them to have these kids? I'm telling you, I was shocked. I never thought I would see that happen. But to answer your question, I do. I was like, at first, I ain't even going to lie. I was like, well, ain't got nothing to do with me. But I do have a daughter, and she does have a right. She has rights, too, just like anybody else. And now she don't have what? But she's old enough now. She got 2 jobs. She can take care of her own kid. But I'm just saying, you better calm down. Everybody better relax, because she's older now. So I don't have to worry about no teenager bringing home no baby. That's what I'm saying. But she's an adult, and she's responsible. She's always been. So it's kind of different for me, but I still feel it. Because when she has a daughter, the daughter gonna go through the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, dang. Like, why? I don't understand the purpose of why they did that. Because they don't like us in the first place. They want us to struggle. They want us to live in the projects. They want us to keep having kids. But what are you doing? What exactly was the purpose of that? How does it benefit? How does it benefit the government for you to stop people having abortions? That's what I want to know.
Well, you know what? I can give a little bit on that.
I think it's because they think the white race is deteriorating.
I didn't want to use that word. That's why but I just don't understand. Like, I really don't.
Go ahead, Jerome. You said you had some comments on that. Go ahead, man.
No, that's exactly where I was going. So just from doing news stories, right, I'm sure over the past, like, year or so of doing news stories, you've heard about the story where Italy had a zero birth rate, which means that the same amount of people was dying than being born. And in most European nations, they have a negative birth rate. And even in this country, more white folks have died than being born. So since the last census, it's about 2.3 million less white people than before. So they're losing. And so a part of the religious thing that's coming, and the Pope actually came out too and actually told them that we need more, I can't think of how he said it, but literally more white people born. And it was not long ago, maybe 10 years ago, where you had people like Elon Musk or Bill Gates saying that, oh, the world is overpopulated and how are we going to feed all these people? Now that they have a negative birth rate, you see them in different countries. You know, China got rid of their one-child policy, and so they're encouraging people to have more kids. It's because there are more white folks that's dying than being born on this planet. And so the problem is that religious doctrine is kicking in there, and now they're just encouraging. So they're not saying don't have an abortion for people of color. They're just making it hard for everybody because of those numbers. Those realities are kicking into their politics. And so this has been going on since the 30s, by the way. Hitler knew that was coming, and that was a part of Hitler's, master race stuff. They knew that their numbers were depleting, and they knew it was going to hit a critical mass at some point, that there were going to be more white folks that are dying and being born. So this is where all these prophecies and all of that other stuff and religious doctrine is coming in. But they cannot say just white folks. So they're saying nobody can have abortions. But believe me, they don't care. I don't think they'll arrest a black person for having an abortion. I honestly don't think so.
Well, wait. What I'm hearing is you think – now, I'm asking Jerome. You think that this whole thing is in place because they just want white people to reproduce?
Oh, I do news stories on this all the time. All the time. This is stuff that's not hidden. This is through APC, through Reuters, through the BBC. I get news from all of those sources in all of these countries, whether it's France, Italy, United States, like I said, according to our last census, is down like 2.3 million white folks, less than being born. So they're losing numbers. And so all of this started a long time ago. So even though the religious side of that was always kind of anti-abortion, they finally hit a critical mass where they're just like freaking out and they're like ramping that stuff up. So you put enough conservative judges on the court and now they're thinking about their own mortality. That's why these men are doing that, not necessarily the women, but the guys are literally just saying, y'all need to have more babies. But they don't fund Head Start. They won't fund anybody eating.
Right.
They don't give a rat about none of that
so
stuff.
You can afford
so they don't
have
care about your children. Exactly.
Right.
They care about which children. So if you remember doing dotarts during the Trump age, that they were getting people from Mexico in here, sending their parents back, but keeping their kids. So you
had
a lot of
that.
Questions you asked about that, and they were like, "Oh, we lost."
I think, Jerome, you said before that Democrats have short memories. You said that before. And you know what?
Yes.
When it gets closer in to, I don't want to wear out Facebook now, but when it gets closer in, I'm going to go in and I'm going to find pictures of those children who were sleeping in cages, and I'm going to post it and say, y'all have short memories of what has happened in this country. And that's all I got to say is post it.
I
post more things that say story right now on my Facebook page, but not my feed, but I put it under story so people can see it. So, when it gets closer in, I'm going to pull some stuff, and I'm going to put it on the actual feed for people to see it.
Yeah,
so,
they kept those children because, they have short memory, but they kept those children so that they can raise them in white folks' households. They kept those kids.
That's what
And to kind of piggyback,
slavery.
And to kind of piggyback on what you guys were talking about, the fact that they want folks to have more kids. I was reading something the other day where, and I want to say it was China, but I'm not certain. So, but I did read something the other day that said that basically there is a push. There are some organizations and companies that will cover dating websites as a part of their insurance coverage because they're finding out that there's too many single young men, there are not enough babies coming into this world, and they realize that these guys or these men need to have women to kind of mellow them out. I got to find the article, but I saw that and I was like, what? I was like, okay.
Yeah. Russia did that too. They wanted more black men to go to Russia. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There was about 10 years ago when Putin, those guys were encouraging black males in particular, to go to Russia because they had low birth rate.
Wow, that's something that I never thought
it's
I'd
so,
hear.
Look, we laugh. It's not really funny, but you got to laugh. Sometimes you got to laugh at this stuff. Like, it's crazy.
I can go back. I have all of my news stories. I can go back and put together a whole show of news stories that talks about that.
You know what? Maybe that's something that needs to be on it. I think it's important stuff, especially in this day and age. 2 years since the Supreme Court shut it down, and, you know, my goodness, it's just a sad, sad bit of affairs. You see stories every day of young ladies damn near losing their lives because of this nonsense. Wake up, America, and see what you're voting for. All right, we're going to step out, take a music break. We'll be right back.
That's
it's the
right.
Serious Side.
And that's 347-850-1272.
We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
What do you want to get?
Ice cream.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
Let's go, honey.
Together, we can find a child by signing up for free wireless Amber Alerts on your cell phone.
Yeah.
Online radio at its best.
Louisiana is the first state to require that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom. Republican Governor Jeff Landry signed the bill into law today. The legislation, written by Republicans, mandates that every public classroom, from kindergarten to college, must have a poster-sized display of the commandments in a, quote, large, easily readable font. Civil liberty groups, including the ACLU, are vowing to sue over. They responded in a joint statement saying, quote, "We are preparing a lawsuit to challenge HB 71. The law violates the separation of church and state and is blatantly unconstitutional. Schools have until the start of 2025 to comply with the law."
Welcome back in. 16 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. And we begin another segment of hypocrisy. You know, there's supposed to be a separation of church and state, but in Louisiana, you need to learn the Ten Commandments. Now, you know, Vanessa, let me ask you something, because, you know, I kind of go back and forth with some of this stuff, because, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, I believe in this. So, why there's a conflict here, right? Because there is a separation between church and state. And in the last segment, Jerome brought up an excellent point about, okay, people forcing their God on other folks. How do you feel about this this law? Because it has to be prominently displayed in all schools, in all state universities and colleges in the state of Louisiana. Give me your thoughts on this.
So, as a matter of fact, I was pausing because they were just showing a clip of Donald Trump saying, "Isn't it wonderful that they're putting the commandments back in all the schools?" But y'all tell me, who really reads the commandments? Like, the commandment that says, "Thou shalt not steal." And I'm up here screaming at the TV like, "Your ass ain't reading it." So,
oh, that guy
don't
know one scripture. Stop. He doesn't know one scripture. Remember, they asked him during the interview, they asked him, they said, "What's your favorite scripture?" "Oh, well, I like them all." It's kind of, that's a personal reference. "Well, just give us one." "Ah, I prefer not." Stop. Joker probably didn't touch the Bible. That, oh, my God.
Read it. Hypocrite. Okay, this is where I am with that. Yesterday, I just screamed and asked Bobby what state it was. They're closing down public schools, and they are putting their money with private schools because they want the children to learn that being gay is a sin. And they've got the commandments and stuff all over the wall, but these are public schools being closed because the children's parents are sending them to those schools that is turning them against gays and homosexuality as a sin and all of that. We were looking at this yesterday. We were devastated. I should have wrote it down, but we were devastated when we were looking at that. Like, I can't believe that they're going to send children to a school that teaches against homosexuality just because the parents don't like it and that's where the money is going. So the public schools are not being funded, and the parents was complaining about that. But I don't have a problem with prayer being put back into school, because I remember in the morning – we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We used to have a prayer or whatever. I don't care if they put the Ten Commandments in all the schools. I really don't.
Let me ask you something, though, before I forget, Vanessa. You said something that I definitely want to get you to expand on. Now, saying the fact that being gay is a sin.
Yeah,
now,
that's what they were. Yeah.
Well, but what does the Bible say about that?
So somebody just told me to tell y'all it's called the Dream City Christian School in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
You know, Bobby looked it up while I was talking about it. But, yeah,
okay.
We were looking at that. We were devastated. We couldn't believe that they're going to send their children to a different school so they can teach against
right.
homosexuality. That is insane.
Okay, but what does the Bible say about homosexuality?
They were saying that it was they pointed it out, that it was a sin.
Okay.
Homosexuality was a sin in the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So that's the that's the conflict that I think some people have. I remember I was going to my church, Jerome, and you know, and my bishop, man, he was going.
Let me finish
what?
My question on religion. I don't have a problem with religion being put in the school. I don't care if they put the Ten Commandments in the school. What I would like is for them not to deter against people being gay or not gay. I don't think that should be separated. I don't think it should be taught. I don't think that should be in the school. Now, that finishes my point. But I just want to say I don't like that. But I do like the prayer being back in school.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So now I forgot what I was saying. But go ahead, Jerome, your thoughts.
Well, okay. So I don't know where to begin. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher, and I saw her post something on Flag Day, and she had the kids, you know, waving flags and stuff. And it was a public school, and it was a lot of minority kids in there. And she said, "I know you probably didn't like that." And I said, "You know, the Supreme Court ruled against this stuff. You guys cannot make people say the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff. It's an 1860 something." ruling in the Supreme Court that says that you cannot declare your allegiance to anything through words and deeds and all the other stuff. You can't make this is not fascism. You cannot say hail to the United States and all of its glory. You can't do that stuff. It is
right.
against the law. So making people do that, whether it's religious-wise, because we're supposed to have a separation of church and state, you shouldn't do that. And I told her, I said, I remember not, because it was optional when we were in school, and I remember not standing for the pledge. I just did not want to, right? And so you shouldn't be indoctrinating. Why didn't I want to?
Why you didn't want to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or whatever?
Because it's indoctrination. I think I knew too much when I was that young. I knew exactly what it was.
But what's wrong with saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America? What's the problem with that?
That technically is still against the law to make people swear allegiance to a flag.
But you didn't know it was against the law when you were nine. You did not know.
No, I did not know then, but it was optional. Listen to me. It was optional. You have to remember when I was little, there was a lot more, we had a lot more African-American study stuff. So those teachers who were coming out of those programs were teaching us when we were little in elementary school and stuff. So they were like, hey, y'all stand if you want to, and if you don't, you don't. So they were coming out of that school of listening to Naeem Akbar and Dr. Francis Chris Welsing and Neely Fuller, and all of those guys who were actually understanding what they were doing to indoctrinate our children. So I was one of those kids who grew up in an area that we had a lot of black people who were conscious. It wasn't me in making a decision on whether I wanted it was an option to participate, and I actually knew what it was because they were telling us. My older cousins, you know, they were like, uh-uh. You know, I remember
did you go to all black schools? When you were a kid?
No. Probably 30% black. It was not even close. But I can tell you this. One of my friends whose brother was in college, I remember him sitting us down. We were like junior high age. And he said, y'all should be inspiring to own that grocery store down the street opposed to whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he was absolutely right. That grocery store still to the day has never been owned by black people in a black neighborhood. But he told us that we were probably junior high, and he was in college, because he said, we're not taking care of the community. So those guys were really conscious around us when we were little. So, yeah, I was kind of blessed that way, you know, just to have somebody to be like, you know, you don't have to follow all of this stuff blindly.
Well, but see, think about the purpose of the Revolutionary War. The reason why we had the Revolutionary War, because we didn't want to sit here and praise the British and do all that other stuff. So I can see why that was a part of the law. I mean, you know, so at the end of the day, you know, but at the end of the day, when you look at the fact that they're making people do this, and I kind of go back to, I was trying to remember where I was going with a question I have for you, Jerome, and I just can't, you know, like Vanessa called me at the top of the show, I'm old, so I can't recall what I was going to ask you. And when I go back and listen to this show, I'm going to be like, damn it, that's what I wanted to say, but unfortunately it's gone. But let me ask you, Momo, because you haven't chimed in on this. So when you talk about the separation of church and state, praying in school, you know, we had to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I wasn't listening to a Public Enemy like Jerome was when he was a kid, so I had no idea. I just stood the hell up and just said, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Hell.
I mean, I know the words, Jay. It's not like I don't know the words. I'm just saying. I didn't. Jeez.
Yo,
you were rebellious when you were 9 years old.
I was
just crazy.
Fight the power.
Listen, my mother was a teacher. I was not rebellious. I was not a rebellious kid. Not at all.
Yeah. Jerome, I
just want to say that for the record.
Jerome, I have one thing to say to you, man. Elvis was a hero the most, but the mother to me. Hey, look at him and John Wayne.
He was straight up racist duck with the plane. Yep, I know that. I know the words very well, Jay.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah.
Okay.
So underneath his shirt, Momo, he had a clock. Momo. That joker was born straight up. Yeah, I'm not standing up for nothing. Tell my mama I ain't doing a damn thing.
I get it. When I was younger, this is my thing. When I was a child,
I
learned certain things. I was in this, I do now, but when I was a child, I just do what I'm supposed to do. Stand up and say whatever, because I don't want no problems at home. There ain't nobody going to call my mother or grandmother or father and say, oh, she didn't do this, she didn't do that. Because home, that's where I got to live. So I'm going to obey the rules. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to put my hand on my chest and recite whatever I'm reciting. I didn't know, unlike Jerome, I didn't know what they were talking about, for real. I'm just following the rules. So as I get older, I understand different things. Just like my children, you got to get up and stand up and do whatever they tell you to do. You don't, quote, unquote, have to. As we get older, we see children more defiant, and then we wonder why. Because they don't even know what they're standing for or sitting for or whatever, but they doing, they just stand up. They lazy. They sleepy or whatever it is. They don't even know what's going on. That's why you got to teach your kids at home. And then the kids that got taught at home, oh, you don't have to do this or you don't have to do that. I personally don't agree with it because if at all 19 of y'all are sitting up, you're the only one sitting down. Girl, you better stand up and just sit there and do whatever it is and come home and do your homework. I don't get it because the thing that I don't get the most is why people take a stand and they don't know what they're standing for or people don't stand up and they don't know why, because of this and that. You got to learn. Everybody got to learn. But sometimes you don't learn until you get older. So just follow the rules so you don't get in trouble. And that was always my thing with my kids. But it's different now.
But
people
so
just tell
my mother that school is school. That's what they want to say for the Pledge of Allegiance. My mom was teaching at the school, so no. I was like, you're right.
My mom knew my teacher. Yeah, it wasn't like I was being rebellious across the board. It was optional to stand doing the pledge. And let me tell you a really quick story.
I don't know how old you are. For real, I really don't. But I know how old I am. And I just followed the rules. Now, that's why I'm so don't follow the rules now, because now I'm legal. I can say what I want to say. I can do what I want to do. But as a child, I think you should just follow the rules. Like, if you make a stand for something
and
everybody else, I'm like, what? Why is this child doing that? Now the whole class is disrupted. You go to the principal office, they come, their mother comes the next day doing all the most. I'm like, what? Is going on.
Yeah.
As long as you're not putting no hands on my kids, I don't really care what is going on.
But yeah, and do I think prayers should come back? I believe that, because why not?
You it's, wow,
no,
that's
no,
that's
stop laughing.
Yeah,
I'm
not gonna stop laughing. Everybody,
no, I'm just saying,
yeah, whatever.
Prayers in school. If you go to a Catholic school, they make those guys pray in Catholic school. So if you go to a Catholic school, you still have to take religion as a course. It's not that you can't. It's just making everybody else do something that you want them to do.
But as kids, I don't want you to forget.
Why wouldn't you want them to say a prayer? Like as kids,
we're laughing at you, Momo, because I remember you said on the J. Ryle show about you and your Bible experience. That's why I'm laughing, people. That's an inside joke.
You
but
can
I've
laugh
digressed.
All you want to.
Well, I'm
going to
continue
to laugh.
I'm
grown. I was grown. I was in
the
child.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. All right, Joe, tell your story because I don't want to forget.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a freshman, I was like 17. I took this ROTC class in college. And they tried to make us sign the pledge, you know, how you go through and say, I swear to uphold the whatever. And I said, I'm not signing that for a grade. And they called in the lieutenant major, whoever that guy is, that highest guy. And he was like, you have to sign this. And I said, no, I am not enlisting into the military. I am taking a class. And so they went back and forth, and they tried to get me to go into officer school in the military because I was the only one who would not do that. They were like, people will follow you. So no, we need you in here. And I just told them no. But I wouldn't do that at 17 either.
Yeah. And like you guys, like everyone has said, you know, when you get older, you know better. And you know, one of the things, you know, I don't do, and people who are, everyone knows my background. I'm a former military member, a member of the military. And I will not, when I stand for the national anthem, I won't repeat it. I won't put my hand over my heart. And I've had one guy walk up to me and says, well, you know, you're a former service member. Why do you not do this? I said, well, you know, read the second verse. And, you know, then you talk to me about it then. So when you know better, you do better. So that's just the way it is. All right, we're going to step out. Take a break. Coming up, second part of Mariana Music's Music Corner. And we'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Serious Side, 347-850-1272. You can be a part of it if you want to. We'll be right back.
Been looking for answers, some kind of sign, a deeper meaning, but not much to find, except the sun in my face, and it feels right. Had gotten used to the silence of the night. The thought of your arms, I'm already safe. Thought I had done it all, but I got some grace. Even a bit of time, and pace, reset on my heart in a brand new slate. You make me feel like I can love again. You make me feel like I can love again. Ain't no redemption. Tasted oh so sweet. Leap of faith and I landed on my feet. Up in the air, but it's so easy to breathe. Double my hopes and gave them back to me. You make me feel like I can love again. You make me feel like I can love again.
go.
Just a minute, I gotta finish this.
Wait, you're gonna post those pictures of Mary?
Yep. She thinks she's so hot.
But her mom and dad will see them. Her grandmother, her little sister, everyone she knows, it's gonna kill her.
Who cares? Just a couple of pictures. No big deal.
No big deal? Don't. This has gotta stop.
Stop cyberbullying. The results could be deadly.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is that call-in number. It is the Sirius Side on a beautiful Sunday. Very, very hot. Please take the necessary precautions to protect you, your family, and your pets in these extreme weather days that we're living in. It's time to say good morning to my fam. What's up, Vanessa Mayfield, Linda McAnally? Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We are all in our places with bright, smiling faces.
Somebody was indoctrinated when they was in that.
Stop, Jerome, stop.
I'm just saying, I remember that too. I'm with you.
He's right. That's where I got it from. From elementary school, we had to sing that. Absolutely. I was indoctrinated at an early age. What's going on, Vanessa? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to send you a surprise picture of me.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. Stop.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. What's going on?
Bobby, where's Bobby?
Bobby Jones. What's going on, Momo BZ and the Heezy? How are you?
I'm chilling. I'm okay. I'm all right. Glad to be a part of this conversation with all of y'all because I really do love each and every one of y'all dearly.
I was waiting for the except Jay part because usually that comes right there, except for Jay.
No. You know I love you.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, I appreciate that because I love you as well. I love you just as much as you love me. So think about that the next time you say something.
That's a lie. No, I don't know where you're trying to go with that, but okay.
Okay, you're right. My brother from another mother, the one and only Mr. Jerome is free, is in the house. Good morning, Jerome. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Hey, man, it's another day in paradise. I'm in your world,
you
brother.
Go.
Listen, if you calm down because now you done got me ticked off. Even though me and Vanessa, when we first started, I didn't think she liked me too much and whatever. But I love Vanessa. Vanessa called me more than you, Jay. And let's just put that out there.
No, my goodness.
I love you
Thank
too,
you. Thank you, Momo. I knew it. It was just that backhanded compliment. I was waiting. I had my face all ready. You know, had my mouth all ready for some orange juice and there's nothing in the container.
But it's the truth. Look, I just speak the truth.
Yeah, well, thank you for speaking the truth. God bless you. Yeah, whatever. Go to church.
Welcome.
All right. Want to say what's up to everybody that's out there. Want to say what's happening to the real deal. What's going on, baby? You know I love you. Pastor, you in the house as well. I'm pretty sure you are. Kavita, man, you know the rules. When Mr. Elias, who is off, by the way, this week, when he's not here, it's hard for me to go do other things. So I'll just say hello to everybody because I just don't have the opportunity to go and pull things like I usually do. So we appreciate you listening.
He don't care. Just like that's why he didn't call me in my time of need, and Vanessa was right there. Thank you.
All righty, then. God bless you, too, Momo BZ. On that note, we'll just go to the next topic, shall we?
Online radio at its best.
More new developments today in the House Ethics Committee investigation into Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Sources tell ABC News that one woman testified under oath that she received a Venmo payment from Gaetz in exchange for sex. Those sources also say the committee has interviewed half a dozen women who say they attended parties with the congressman and were paid to be there by either Gaetz or his one-time close friend, Joel Greenberg. Greenberg was sentenced in 2022 to 11 years in prison after pleading guilty to numerous charges, including sex trafficking a minor. The Florida Republican denies all wrongdoing. These revelations come a day after the Ethics Committee said it was reviewing allegations that Gaetz engaged in sexual misconduct and illicit drug use.
Yeah, of course he would. Not off the hook just yet. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is under investigation by the House Ethics Committee for alleged sexual improprieties and illegal drug use. So now, the Department of Justice failed to bring charges against this guy, but it looks like the House Ethics Committee is marching on. And so what I don't understand here, and help me out with this, Jerome, is, and this is the same thing with Donald Trump, okay, how can a person who was involved in the exact same activities you were involved in, how is that person in jail and your ass is walking around free? You know,
exactly.
I don't understand that. You have people in jail that's in jail. Think about Donald Trump's financial advisor, right? Michael Cohen. Those guys went to jail for doing the exact same thing that Donald Trump did, but yet his ass is walking around free.
Yeah,
right?
And money has
its privileges.
It tells you something about the criminal justice system and how people use the law to stall and delay justice, right? So Trump has that whole Georgia thing. He should have been in jail like about at least 4 months ago, but they keep stalling. Well, the prosecutor was dating somebody, or somebody, left a bad tip at Red Lobster. Like, whatever they can do to sidetrack you, they're not even bringing up charges. That dude should have been in jail a long time ago, Matt Gaetz. And with that other guy on the House committee who's always yelling, who had that scandal, he was a wrestling coach.
Oh, Jim Jordan.
In Ohio. Jordan.
Jim Jordan.
Jordan should be in jail.
Exactly.
Like, but these guys are going hard for Trump because them dudes should be in jail. Rick Perry for the stuff that he did when he was there. I forgot the Treasury Secretary. Them fools using their positions to make money. They should all be in jail, but we act like we can't see it because they have money to stall the justice system. They can stall.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Vanessa. It's like the world is full of Stevie Wonders. We can't see a damn thing, but they're doing it in broad daylight. I mean, it's amazing. I was watching something the other day where Lindsey Graham says that Joe Biden should be in jail. Now, we could go back and find videotape when Lindsey Graham was really Lindsey Graham, and, you know, when he was really a person of, well, I'm not going to say of honor, but integrity. There's a video when they was doing some type of documentary on Lindsey Graham. He was driving around on some farm in his truck saying that, you know, you got to love Joe Biden. He was moved to tears when he said this about Joe Biden. Fast forward 10 years later, Joe Biden's a criminal. You know, these people are ridiculous. Huh?
And Lindsey Graham tampered with Georgia, too.
Oh, you know what?
He
tampered
right with Georgia, and he called Arizona.
He sure did.
He should be arrested.
In jail. What were you saying, Vanessa?
Trump said he never said lock her up. Lock him up. And the day that that man gives his opinion of what he going to do to Trump, which is nothing, my topic going to be on Facebook that says, lock him up, in quotes, just like he said about Hillary.
It's amazing. It is amazing. So this guy has been running around. Matt Gaetz has been running around just talking all this trash. And once again, make it make sense for me. The guy who was your running partner, your wingman. I thought in most states that if you were there when a crime was committed, that you are an accessory to the crime, and you could get, like, if you are part of a murder, let's say you pull up and your friends go in the house, you can kill somebody, and they get in your car and you drive off, you didn't pull the trigger, but guess what? You were the getaway person.
Right.
Your ass get charged for murder too.
Same charge.
Right.
So how can you be around someone who commits these crimes? He has been proven and convicted guilty in the court of law, but your ass don't get nothing. How hard can it be to track Venmo payments on? I don't get it, man. I don't understand this. And how do we teach our kids to trust politicians? How do we teach our kids to trust police when we live in this state that we live in? The state of America is crazy right now for me. It's just nuts.
You don't teach your kids to trust nobody. That's what I teach my kids.
You
don't trust nobody.
You
your
cannot.
Your friends. I do. And they, look, neither one of my kids has ever been arrested, ever had detention.
Right.
So I'm doing something right. I am.
Exactly.
So I'm the person I am. I'm doing something right.
Well, because you've taken all their rest. You got arrested for them, so they know what that experience is all about.
So, to blow her out. That's all with you.
Yeah. Hey, man, bump Momo. She's been coming at me all day.
Hey, no, look, you just a hater. You hating on me. I don't know why.
Are you hating on me? Stop. I'm not going to sit here and engage with you with this nonsense. Whatever. Like a white girl, whatever. So they have a young lady who said that this guy paid her for sex. And what's happening with this? So now, keep in mind that this is the House Ethics Committee, Jerome. So he can't, this is not in a criminal court. Now, this can lead to his expulsion from Congress, but
right.
How? Talk to me, man, because the statute of limitations is not over on this. So
no,
talk to me,
and
man.
I don't think the charges was dismissed on him either. I think that they chose not to prosecute him. So what happens is that prosecutory discretion kicked in where they were like, oh, we don't have enough evidence, but they convicted the guy who was with him.
Right.
How are you gonna, like you said, if you are going to both rob a bank and they have one and you're driving the getaway car, they usually just wrap you both up together. But apparently, the guy who was with them turned kind of state's evidence and said, yeah, the girl was underage and we knew it and blah, blah, blah. But they still didn't prosecute him. And the girl who was underage said, yeah, I slept with him, like so, right? He still won't go to jail for that. I don't understand that.
I don't get it.
I'm telling you. Well, think about it this way. The Trump, the court-appointed judge in that Trump case for the documents, he should have been in jail for that a long time ago, and she keeps stalling it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is the judge's discretion on what they pursue and what they don't pursue, and she's dragging it out. And instead of disbarring her or getting her thrown off the bench, everybody says, well, let's just see what she's going to do. We don't know what she's going to do. And they will not disbar her. I guarantee if she was black, they'd have disbarred her a long time ago.
Gone.
Right?
Gone.
They wouldn't have Bonnie Willis.
Gone. And you know what? And now, you know, and speaking of which on that case, you know, now it's been revealed that two judges told her she should have recused herself from the very beginning, and she said no.
They would tell you behind the scenes. That's what I'm saying. They give you the courtesy of doing that where they knew that they should have just took them to the appellate court and just said, listen, we need to have her removed. Because if all the other judges knew it was a problem, why wouldn't you just file something? And it's because the Justice Department is like Merrick Garland. He was conservative. Obama tried to appoint him because he thought the conservative people would like him, but they never put somebody liberal or somebody who's a Democrat in any of these positions. They always cater to conservatism. So even when they're Democrat, they're still conservative. Right?
Yep.
Trump get convicted, and all the witnesses are Republicans. It's like, well, those are Biden people. You know, ain't got nothing to do with Biden. You'll never convict anybody if you can. Yeah.
Oh my. You know, the thing that's so crazy about this is the fact that everybody that testified against this fool were either they were Republicans or they were a part of his freaking cabinet. They worked for him.
Yeah, they were his people.
George Soros, he had something to do with this. Shut up. Shut up.
And fools are still voting for him. They're still voting for him. They're like, I trusted Trump. I'm like, it's his people who told you. His people are coming out saying, don't vote for him, he's evil. And they're like, It's just like what someone said about, Bill Gates. It's like, that dude ain't right, or Elon Musk. Most people don't know. His family, the reason Elon Musk has money is because his family owned, mines in South Africa during apartheid. You expect Elon Musk not to be racist?
I didn't know that.
Nobody really knows that. Yeah, because they don't expose that. That's how he got his money. They had emerald mines or something in South Africa during apartheid.
There it is.
But everybody's like, I want a Tesla. It's like, are you crazy?
I would buy that car. You can give me one of those cars. I wouldn't drive it just because. And, you know, Vanessa said something, a few shows back. It was a while back, actually. She said she kind of feels sorry for these people that pledged money to Donald Trump's campaign. You know, this past month, it looks like he brought in a lot of money. I don't feel sorry for him because you know he's going to take your money and pay for his legal expenses. You're stupid.
Yeah.
You want to be stupid and ignorant and do what you're going to do. That's exactly where it's going. He's not helping. But, he's not helping Republicans on his ticket. He don't give a damn about them.
Oh, no, not at all. But you can tell how sadistic we are as a nation that you can vote for the most foul candidate just because you don't want the other people to win. They don't think they're not thinking about the health across. Let me tell you something really quick that Biden has done that nobody is paying attention to. Do you know Biden, the reason our gas prices are low is because, you know, usually they go up and down and we have these, you know, critical moments on gas prices. Biden did something that no other president has ever done. He's released, like, millions of barrels, like 100 million barrels from the strategic oil reserves, right, when the price was high. So he brought the price down, and when the price got when the price got low enough, he started selling. So he made something like $15 billion or something. like he actually made money while keeping our gas prices down. He literally made OPEC non-factor in the United States. When OPEC says they're raising prices, you know, our gas prices has not gone up because Biden has been strategically making money on the side but for the United States by releasing money, releasing gas out of strategic oil reserves.
There you go.
He made a ton of money.
Yeah, so people don't give this.
If they don't put that in the commercial, there should not be a commercial because he's the only one who's made money. He didn't raise your taxes. He made it by strategically selling our oil to ourselves and keeping gas prices low and then making that money back when the market changes. He's used the market to make money for the United States.
There you go. And that person knows what the hell he's doing. We'll be right back after this.
Kickstarting vaccine development and manufacturing in Africa for Africa. That's the goal of a new billion-dollar effort that's been launched by an international organization called Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance. And Pierre's Gabriella Emmanuel has more.
Africa is home to almost 20% of the world's population, but makes less than 1% of the world's vaccines. That was a problem in COVID when many African countries were at the back of the line for doses. With this new initiative, the goal is for Africa to make 60% of its vaccines by 2040. Ngashi Ngongo is with the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's all about the predictability of vaccine supply on the continent in time of peak as well as in terms of emergency. That is critical.
Vaccines for cholera, malaria, and Ebola, among others, will be prioritized. Gabriella Emmanuel, NPR News.
Authorities in Arkansas are expected to brief the media later today following Friday's deadly shooting at a grocery store in the small city of Fordyce. Police released a statement last night saying a fourth person has died. 14 people were shot, including two law enforcement officers. Four remain hospitalized, including a woman in critical condition. Hot summer temperatures remain in the forecast for much of the country today, especially in the mid-Atlantic region, where record highs are again a possibility. Forecasters say dangerous heat also expected in portions of the southeast, the lower Mississippi River Valley, and the southern plains. Humidity expected to make it feel like temperatures have topped 100 degrees. Heat-related warnings and advisories remain in effect. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. For the next 15 seconds, REI wants to remind you that your time is precious and that getting outside to soak up summer is a precious way to spend it. Visit your local REI co-op or rei.com/opt-outside.
Online radio at its best.
All right, folks, it is time for our final thoughts. We had a great show today. Before we get started, though, let me do something because Mr. Elias always does this. And for you folks here at home who are keeping track of the music selection. So today, earlier, during the show, the first song we played, it was called It Don't Matter, featuring Gregory Porter. That was by Robert Glasper. And the last song was Love Again, Alex Isley and Jack Dine. So on that note, it's time for our final thoughts. Momo Beezy and the Heezy, final thoughts.
I think people who really care about each other should reach out more. And I think that we should get ourselves together and get ready.
Sure.
We should reach out. We should get together and do what we got to do as far as this presidential thing is concerned. Because we know what we got to do. We just got to do it. And like I said, I love everybody on the show, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And you can catch me next week on the serious side. No. Remember when I did that to you before, and you haven't shook me yet. I'm still on you, boy. I'm still on you.
Oh, my gosh, you did do that. I was like, huh, what? You'll see me next week right here on the Jim Ross Show. Oh, okay. Okay. I love her more than she will ever know. I love you. All right. The man who gets the first. The man. Well, actually, he's not. What today is, the man who gets the first and last word, Mr. Jerome Spree. The first, final thoughts, man.
Hey, you know, all I want to say is that, you know, if we look at the administration that came prior to Biden, there's a bunch of criminals in there, and Steve Bannon is supposed to report on July 1st to jail. Mm. So Everybody who's involved with that guy is still under the watchful eye or supervision of some kind of prison system, probation, parole, something, and you're still considering him. So I would say take that, and I'm not even vouching for Biden, but you don't have no other choice. But I would have to – we're going to have to go with him. Because of their criminality of the other side is just crazy. So on that note, just like LES, I would say get out and vote. I normally don't say that, but I'm channeling LES today. Get out and vote.
You know,
hey, Jerome, do you have a show?
Do I have a show? No, I have not done my show in a while, but we'll have to put it back on. We'll have to put it back on.
Yeah, put it back on so I can bombard it.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Because you know what, though? I just get that a lot where people are still asking for more news. And I kept thinking that, you know, after a while, we have to kind of calm the news because I usually do news that just people just don't normally hear. And but we need to do more news, more information before it still starts getting out of hand. So thanks for that.
We do. And hopefully maybe next week we'll get some on a need-to-know basis. That would be fun. I think people love it. And it's very good information. It's easy listening for me, too. When I'm on the highway driving back and forth, I always go back and listen to that episode. And it's just good stuff. It's stuff that you normally don't get.
Mm-hmm.
It's that deep dive. It's like digging into crates. Go get it. So, you know, come on back.
Yeah.
And we can't wait until we start that back up again.
I can't either because I listen to it driving back and forth to court. So I need something to listen to.
Okay.
Oh my God! Okay, my final thoughts.
And that's another thing, Jerome. I know you know a lot about court, and I gotta, you gotta hit me up because I need some legal advice for free.
Okay, we'll get Kathleen on the line.
I know you're in New York, right? You in New York, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, I'll see if I can make a call for you. Hey, some woman died of a Brazilian butt lift, but we'll talk about that when we do the news. Somebody else did.
There it is. So I keep trying to tell people stop doing that. Just accept your body. If you're aging, age gracefully. Stop it. You don't need to do this. Stop it trying to impress these people. All right, my final thoughts are
they're gonna eat it regardless.
Oh my God. You know what? I don't even know what to say behind that. All right, listen, my final thoughts is happy birthday once again to my beautiful middle daughter, Alexis. Daddy loves you so much.
Happy birthday.
I hope you enjoyed your day. And on that note, oh my God, geez, this kind of reminds me of the end of the Rocky when Rocky fighting Hulk Hogan and the guy was like, good night, Jesus Christ. So this kind of reminds me of that. So Jerome.
Yes, sir.
If it's Sunday, if we're talking serious stuff, man, what time is it?
Time to get out of here. Time for serious night. Big Ryle show.
He's right. So for Vanessa, for this one, Momo, and my boy Jerome, this is J. Ryle saying it's a wonderful work week. And remember, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. God bless. Good night. Bye, Jesus.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, guten Tag.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time slot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.